All right, if you have your Bibles, we are going to be not in Proverbs today. We're taking a break from Proverbs and going to the other end of the Bible, to the very end of your Bible, to the book of Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. Been thinking a lot this week, and this passage came into my mind, and I was not able to shake it. Because it just kind of speaks a lot to me about the church, and I find it interesting. Our Sunday school lesson today, Todd Ruby was all over this today and talking about the church and what the church is and how important it is and fellowship and all of those good things. And so this is a very encouraging passage to me. I know that in the past 16 years, God has blessed, and we've seen a lot of things happen. If you know anything about our past, we started out at the Board of Education building 16 years ago. We were there till November of 2003, and then we moved up to the Craft Mall and rented one storefront. And then we had to have another storefront, and then we moved next door, and God poured out a blessing there. We didn't have much money. Matter of fact, I don't think we had any money, did we, Brother Harold? We didn't have anything. And Dave Literal not only rented it to us at a very, very good price, he paid for all the renovations in that building. And so we really had to have very little investment in it. Treated us well. We ran out of space. We come over here, looked around, said, we need this. And he told me, well, you're looking probably another $2,500 to $3,000 a month, which we were already paying $1,500 a month. And that was just not doable. And I remember the day there was a desk sitting about where Miss Amanda's sitting over there. And Dave was sitting there, and this building was full of water. It wasn't very nice. And I approached him. I said, hey, would you be interested in selling this building? And he said, yes. And so we ended up paying, after buying that building, this building, it was around $2,500 a month mortgage versus like $4,000 in rent. And we had to pay for all of this, and we did most of this. If you remember, we did a lot of this work ourselves, and it wasn't too long after that. The door opened up. We could buy the old village, dry cleaners, yes. And we bought that building for, I think, $40,000 for 1,500 square foot, and that was a deal that we got. And we did all the work on that and opened it up a few years ago. And then about 2 years ago, we bought some more property behind the student center back here in anticipation of building a gymnasium. And then right now, we are currently in the process of buying some more property right next to us and in front of the student center from People's Bank. And so that is ongoing. We haven't finalized that yet, but a lot of the preliminary work has been done and hoping to do that soon. And then we want to get the gymnasium up as soon as possible, as soon as God allows us. And then I don't know what's going to happen after that, but there's never been a shortage of excitement. Yes. That's right. We still have 10 acres of property out on the corner of Lang, Slocum, and Hammerstein that God provided for us, and that is probably for the next guy to deal with that. If I can get the gym built and take the church for another 10, 12 years, that'll be someone else to come in and take care of maybe the next phase. But it's been neat to see what God has done. But as much as I am excited about what God has done, I am also excited to see what God will do. I really believe that we have in our future a lot of great days. And I think we're going to see some neat things happen. And so I'm excited about that. And I really believe, and sometimes this is hard to get from my head to my heart. Sometimes I get this idea that I am a whole lot more in control of what goes on here than I really am. And I'll tell you why I know that, because sometimes I get aggravated and frustrated and worried and concerned about things I cannot change. And God is teaching me that this is His church. It's not mine. If I drop dead today, someone else will come in here and Faith Baptist Church will go as far as God wants it to go. But I do also believe the other side of that is that I do have responsibilities. I have an obligation to the Lord, and I have an obligation to this body. And in some ways, I can affect my life in certain ways. And, you know, consequences. There's consequences to everything, good consequences, bad consequences. But I do believe God is in control. I believe that with all of my heart. And that's an important thing to realize. And so we're going to look this morning at a church in the book of Revelation chapter 3. It's the Church of Philadelphia. And if you know anything about Philadelphia, you know it means brotherly love. And one thing about this church, it was known for its love, its concern for one another. And here's what I believe, and I think this was said in Sunday school class today. You show me a church that has a genuine love for one another, a genuine love for one another, that no matter what's going on, no matter what is said, no matter what is done, there's a love for one another. And I will show you a church that has no boundaries as far as what God can do. But there needs to be that love one for another. We need to have a love one for another in here. Listen, there ought not be any divisions. There ought not be any disunity. There needs to be a genuine love for one another. Why? Because the preacher said so? No, because God said so. And that makes it right. And so this church was known for its love. Also, we know some other things about it. It was a very faithful church. It was faithful to the calling that God had given it, to the mission. A couple other things we know about this church. There was no condemnation. In the other churches, we find condemnation where the Lord rebukes them for behaviors unbecoming of His body, His local body. And so there was no condemnation. It was all good things. You're doing this, you're doing that. Continue this, continue that. Also, we know that this was not a large church. It was a small church. And we'll see that in here. We'll talk about that a little bit more, which is encouraging to me, that you don't have to be a large church. You don't have to be a big church. You don't have to be a mega church to make a difference in the kingdom. Right? We don't have to be running 500. Now, I'll have to admit in my flesh, I would love to be running 500. But evidently God said no, at least for now, probably because He knows I couldn't handle that. But this was a small church. But I want you to also notice something else that I thought was interesting. In the city of Philadelphia, it was a broken city. It was a broken city. It was located in Asia Minor. And something that we know historically happened probably during Jesus' teenage years, there was an earthquake that hit Asia Minor, and many of the cities, because a lot of them were made of stone, when the earthquake hit in AD 17, there was a lot of damage. A lot of the cities in Asia Minor were destroyed. Philadelphia was no exception. The city of Philadelphia was almost crumbled to the ground, and after that, what they did is they moved outside of the city and had tent cities. And so the city of Philadelphia was a broken down city. And there was a lot of difficult issues with that. And here's what I thought of. You know, we are a lot like that. I think of, and I've only been here 16 years, but I thought of Portsmouth. You know, Portsmouth at one time was a thriving city and growing city. I hear the stories of what Portsmouth used to be and all the commerce and all the business and everything around here, the population that used to be here. And because of different reasons, Portsmouth and this surrounding area is not what it used to be. A hurting city, a city that's went through some difficult times. And so this church at Philadelphia was in a struggling place. They were a small church, but they were extremely faithful. And God was using them to do some great things. And so let's look in our passage, and we're going to read this whole segment, but we're not going to mention everything in this passage. We're just going to go down through here and talk about some of these things. But first, let's read. We'll have our prayer, and we'll get started today. Verse number 7, "And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." Remember that. I have used this many times. This is called to me the door of opportunity. The door of opportunity. He said, "I have set before thee the door of opportunity." And I love what he says, "and no man can shut it." I love that. That tells me something right there, and I'm not going to give it to you now because then I'll be jumping way too far ahead. "For thou hast little strength," means that they were small, "and has kept thy word, and hath not defiled or denied my name. Behold, I will make them as a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept my word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Father, as we look into your word, help us to understand the message to this church. And Lord, we know that this is a message to a specific church at a specific time, but we also know that this is kind of indicative of different churches of different ages. And Lord, I hope, I pray that this is something that is said of this church. And so, Father, help us to learn from this. Help us to see that if we are faithful and if we are obedient and we put you first, that the greatest years of this church do not lie behind us, but before us. So help us to learn some things. Help us to make commitments to Christ that will last for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we learned some things here. Verse number 7, he talks about the author. He gives us the author. In my book, in my Bible, this is in red. And he said, "These things he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David." All right, we're told something about the author here. It is none other than Jesus Christ. We know because he's holy. That's an Old Testament term, Old Testament name, but it's also New Testament as well. We also know that he that is true, again, that's given to us of Christ. He that hath the key of David, in other words, that is talking about the Messiahship, that he is the Messiah. We know that's Jesus Christ. And so we know that the author is none other than Jesus Christ. And he's giving this message to be given to this church. We don't know a whole lot. There's been some speculations that the angel is, really an angel is a messenger, that this could have been the pastor of the church or someone given the responsibility of delivering this letter to the church there at Philadelphia. So Jesus is the author. The next thing we see is it had the church in Philadelphia had a leader. It had a leader. Well, let's look at this. These things saith he that is holy, he's true, he that hath the key of David. Look at what it says here. He that openeth, no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Well, we know something about this. It is Christ's church. It's his church. Now, what do we know about Christ's church? Well, I wrote some things down here. Let me share them with you. How do we know it's even his church, this church? Well, what is a church? A church is definitely a called out body of believers, but it's something unique. It's a Bible believing church. In other words, we believe in the Word of God. We believe in the inspired scriptures. We believe that this is God's word for us. Not only that, we also believe in Bible preaching. Bible preaching, not just that this is the Word of God, but we know we are called to preach it. This is a place where God's Word is preached. Not only preaching, but God's Word is taught, teaching. That's an important aspect of every church. Also, it's a soul-winning place. The Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's a place where people are saved. It's also a place where people are baptized. It's also a place where people are discipled. But not only that, it's a place where missionaries are sent out into the world. It's also a place where people trust Jesus, where people trust the Lord. It's a church that belongs to Him. It's His church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And see, folks, what happens is sometimes men, pastors, get the idea that this church belongs to them, or a church belongs to them, or you may get a group of people in a church that believe that this church belongs to them, and they begin to run the church, and they begin to make decisions that maybe don't go along with God's word, and they start leading and guiding a church, and that's not biblical, and it's not right. And that's not a place of blessing for a church. So we find here, he talks about the church in Philadelphia had a leader, and that, of course, that was the Lord. Not only that, but he is in control of his church. I love this. If you look here, it says, he opens and he closes. Don't you just love that? I am so thankful for that. Here's what I believe. I believe nothing happens in this life outside of God's will. Now, it's not God's will that man sins, okay? And I want you to know that. God doesn't want man to sin. But I believe that God has a plan, and God will work that plan. I believe, according to the Word of God, that the things that happen to me, even though they be difficult, even though they be tough, even though things in this life can be hard at times, that nothing that anyone can ever do to me can deter God's will for my life. You say, well, you don't understand. I've had this person do something, and I've been hurt by that person, and this person said this, and that pastor did that, and because of that, I just can't do what God wants me to do. Listen, I don't believe that, because to believe that, that says that someone else in this world has more control over my life than God does. And that's not right. That's not Bible. Now, does that mean people won't hurt me? Does that mean that people won't affect me? Oh, they will. They have. But you know what? Here's the thing. We've went through some trying times in our life. From the time we got married, before we got married, the time that I worked in Dayton, the time that I've been here. And let me just say this, I would not change, and I mean this sincerely, and the Lord knows this, I would not change one thing that's happened to me in the last 52 years, 3 years. I wouldn't change it. You know why? Because it's helped make me what I am today, because God uses those things in our life to help us, to grow us. And so when you're talking about the church, listen, understand this. When he says the church, he's not talking about a building. All right, he's talking about people. These are all individual people that have come together to make a church, to be a body. So when he's talking about this, he's talking about people. And we need to understand that. So whatever happens here, listen, folks, is I believe, within God's sphere of influence. I believe it's under God's control. Look at what happened to Job. You know the man Job who lost everything that he had? Remember that story? Remember Satan came to him, to God, and said, hey, listen, that servant Job, he's a great guy, but let me tell you something. When I touch him and when I come up against him, he's going to fall. And God said, really? I don't think so. God give him the opportunity to come up against Job, and he smite him, and he took away so much from Job. Even he took his family, except for that lovely wife that he had. He did keep her, and everything else God took away. Does that mean that that was totally out of God's hand? No, that was in God's will for him. Listen, the hardest things that happen to us in life, in some way, shape, or form, are a part of God's will. And when I sin and I do things I shouldn't do and I respond wrong, does not God allow some things to happen in me, to me, because he loves me and he wants to grow me? Yeah, he does. And so we see here Job was a great example. And not only that, but the apostles. All but one of them died prematurely at the hands of those that would kill them. Could we say, well, you know, you died outside of God's will because someone took your life? No, God allowed that to happen. And I think this is so important. We need to get this. I need to get this. God is in control of the good times, but he's also in control of the difficult ones too. And we've got to trust him. We talked about this Wednesday night. When we pray, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talked about prayer. Thy will be done. We need to pray for God's will to be done. When God does his will, we have to be good with it. We've got to trust him for that. I have to trust him for that because I know his will is being accomplished. Here's something to think about. You won't answer for what people do to you someday. Get this. You won't answer for what people do to you, but you will answer for how you let it affect you. You get that? This church in Philadelphia, they were facing some opposition. They were facing some difficult times. But nonetheless, God was still working, and God was blessing them. The third thing I want us to see here, God knows what we are doing. Verse number 8, he says, I know thy works. I know thy works. Now again, remember, he's talking to a church. He's talking to people. It was written to people. And each one was a part of that. You know, I think sometimes we get busy with a lot of the wrong things. You see, when he's talking about works, he's not talking about everything that we do. He's talking about the things that we do for the Lord. We had a couple ladies here recently do a Thelma and Louise trip. I give them a kid with them a little bit. And they flew out to California and drove a car back. And I don't get on Facebook. I do check on you all. I want you to know that. I do check on you all. And sometimes you pop up on my feed and I see what's going on. And I remember one day I just going through my emails and it come up that they were in Waco, Texas. Now, do you know anything about Waco, Texas? Yeah, that's where Chip and Joanna reside. Anybody that watches HGTV, Chip and Joanna. And I heard from maybe on Facebook or from somebody else that they went around and did their house tour, the houses that they'd redone on television, and they went around and looked at those things. How cool would that be? I know if we ever go anywhere near Waco, Texas, I know where we'll be. We'll be at the silos, and we'll be taking a tour, and we'll be doing all that stuff because my wife loves Chip and Joanna and Fixer Upper. We've done a little bit of that ourselves. We've remodeled about 8 houses in this area, and we've sold them, and God's used that. We've done them not because we want to be rich and famous. We did it so we could put food on the table. You know, it's one of those things. But if you was to take a tour of Wheelersburg, you wouldn't see houses with signs in the front remodeled by Brian and Stacy White. There's no tour for that. Huh? Not yet. I've driven by a couple of those houses, and I don't want my name on the front of those anymore, all right? Anyway, but you know what? Here's what I do believe, that as much time and energy as Stacy and I have put into those houses, that's not the works that he's talking about here. That's not the works. The things that he's talking about are those things that we do that amounts to something for the Lord. Brother Ralph and I, we didn't get to go out because of the rain Friday. We go out, try to go out for a couple hours a week and go out canvassing. Knock on doors. I've made up my mind. I've got to get back to that. I'm uncomfortable with it, but I need to do that because it helps me get out of my box. I'm an introvert. I need that. A couple weeks ago, we were out knocking on doors, passing out literature. I'm not going to tell you where, but we were out knocking on doors. And I knocked on this one door, and I knocked on the front door and left the stuff. Well, I'm starting down the street, and he comes out the side door, and I tell him who I am and what I'm doing. And he says, well, I got to tell you something. You know, I've heard that one before. So I asked him, I said, is this going to be good? Because if not, I'm leaving. No, I didn't say that. He said, well, let me tell you. He said, I want you to look over there. What do you see? I see a church. He said, what do you see over there? A church. I said, what do you see over there? A church. He said, I've got five churches I can almost see from my porch. I've lived in this house for 5 years, and you're the first one that's ever knocked on my door and invited me to church. Now, you may say, oh, boy, that made you feel good. No, it didn't. Actually, you know what came over my mind? How many houses are in eyeshot of this church that would say in the last 5 years they've not knocked on my door? You see, sometimes we get so busy doing a lot of good things that we forget about doing the things that God wants us to do, the good works, the things for the Lord. And so he said, listen there. He said, hey, I see your works. Well, what are these works? Let me give you real quick. Number one, works are opportunities. They're opportunities. You know, these are opportunities that God gives us. We need to expect them. We need to look for them. We need to anticipate them. Look for the opportunities God gives you. I was out, and this was like the week before, in the same community, and Brother Ralph didn't knock on a door. There was a gentleman sitting on a porch, and he went up and started talking to him, and he said, we're from Faith Baptist Church, and we're out knocking on doors, telling people about our church, and he said, well, I know a little bit about your church. You may remember this. He said, see that car out there? I got a loan on that car. I'm not going to tell you where he went, but where he went, there was someone there that takes care of loans. It's part of our church. And he said, I remember talking to that lady, and she told me where she went to church. You know what I look at that as? An opportunity. Someone took advantage of an opportunity and an open door to say, hey, I go to church. And so when we come by and we're knocking doors and passing out literature, he said, oh, I already know about you. You know, I've had people tell me, I had someone say something about your church, and here you are knocking on my door. Maybe I need to come. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. You know what my response is? Yeah, you need to come to church. Come to church. Opportunities. So works are opportunities. Works have nothing to do with the size of the church. Just because we're not a huge church doesn't mean that we cannot do God's work. The third thing, works require obedience to God's word. If you would, look at verse number 8. He said, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. You know what that means? They were obedient. They were obedient to God's word. Listen, if you and I are going to be the church that God wants us to be, if we're going to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us, we've got to be obedient to his word. If we're not obedient to His word and we're not following Him and we're not doing the things that He calls us to do, mark it down. The opportunities are not going to be there for you to do something for Him. And if it's not there for you to do something for Him, then Faith Baptist Church, because it's made up of people like you, are going to miss out on those opportunities. So works require obedience to God's word. Not only that, works require faithfulness. Verse number 8 again. Thou hast kept my word and hath not denied my name. In other words, they were faithful. They were faithful. You know, I admire when men and women are faithful. You know, isn't there something about relationships where there's some faithfulness? There's some of you that have been married 50, 60 years. That's what I call faithfulness. And I believe when you're married that long, if you don't kill one another, you're going to enjoy one another. Becky hadn't killed Al yet. There's got to be something to him. And I would say there's something special there. I know there's something special here. My parents, 50 years. How many of you have been married at least 50 years? All right. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Hey, listen, don't quit. You're our example. Keep going. Continue to be faithful. That's important. When you're faithful that long, you develop some really good relationships, and you see some neat things happen. Or what about that friend? Anyone, maybe you're here and you had a childhood friend that you're still friends with today. How special is that? You've endured a lot. That's important. Faithfulness. If you want to see God work, you have to be faithful. I wonder how many blessings have been lost because someone didn't continue just a little bit longer. Because maybe they pulled out. Maybe they said, I don't want to do this. Now, I don't want to be a part of this church. Be faithful. Not only that, look at the next thing. Go down to verse number 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You know what this is? Patience is endurance. He's talking about enduring. But it's interesting. He's talking about patience. Patience is staying underneath difficult circumstances. That's what endurance is. Long-suffering is dealing with difficult people. Patience is dealing with difficult circumstances. Now, granted, many times it's the people that cause the circumstances, right? But he said, listen, you have endured, you have put up with the difficult circumstances, and because of that, you're going to see some things happen. You know, life's tough. Church is tough. But we don't quit. We don't give up. We don't do that. We keep moving forward, even though it gets difficult. Even though marriage gets difficult at times, we don't give up. The church gets difficult at times. Sometimes things happen we don't understand. But we keep going. Why? Because that's what God blesses, and that is where we can really accomplish a lot. So our obedience, our faith, and our faithfulness, and our willing to suffer will determine our opportunities that we get for the Lord. Last thing, God will reward. Look at verse number 9. Behold, I will make them as the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. God will reward, but I want you to look at this. Is a reward, immediate, right then, in this life, a reward of evangelism. A reward of evangelism. That's what he says. He's talking about a lost group of people that hated this church, and you know what they did? He said, they will come and worship at your feet. Now, it's not saying that they'll come and worship them. They will come and worship who? They'll come and worship the true and living God, and they will know that I have loved you. How would they know that? Unless they come to Christ, unless they come to know Jesus as their Savior. So he says, listen, in spite of all the troubles, in spite of all the difficulties, because you're faithful, because you're obedient, because of that, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And that opportunity is going to be people are going to come and worship at your feet. Worship Jesus Christ at your feet. And they'll see that God has loved you. Wow. Why? Because they were faithful. Why? Because they were obedient. Why? Because they trusted the Lord. Why? Because they loved one another. I don't know about you. I want to, if you ask me, Pastor, what's your greatest burden right now? I want to see more people saved. That breaks my heart sometimes. I'm one of the reasons Brother Ralph and I go out. And anytime God gives me an opportunity to share the gospel, I want to do that. I want to see people get saved. I think that's the greatest blessing a church can have in this life is to see people walk the altars and say, I've got saved. You know what's a bigger blessing? I'll tell you what would bless me more is not people coming and getting saved right here, but you leading people to the Lord out there and bringing them in here and bringing them to the front and say, hey, just want you to know, so-and-so got saved this week. I led them to the Lord. And not that we're being prideful or anything, but just say, hey, that's how they got saved. That's why they're here today, and they want to get baptized and join the church and be productive. That would thrill my heart more than anything. But you know what that requires? You and I to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. And it's not just immediate reward. Look at the last thing here. Verse number 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. The reward to come. I don't know, I was running in my mind earlier this morning as I was studying, and I got to thinking of the judgment seat of Christ. And we understand the judgment seat of Christ takes place after the rapture. And that is a place where every believer will stand before the Lord and give an account of their works, the things that they've done. And I begin to think and wonder, because the Bible's not clear on this, how will that be? I kind of envision in my mind a line. You know, like you may go to King's Island or you go to an amusement park and you've got this long line and they're going. And my limited mind puts me in a long line. Now, here's the thing. Will I be in line with people with the last name same as me? Is this going to be an alphabetical order? Or will it be, well, the first saints will go first, and then as the church ended and gets close to the end, then we'll be towards the end, because I believe we're really getting close to the end. Or here's another thought that I had. Will we be together in this line as a church? And so in this line, this as we approach the judgment seat of Christ, will we be together some? I don't know. But I do know this. God blesses individuals, but he also blesses churches. But the only way he can bless this church, listen to me, this is important, and this puts you right in the middle of it. The only way God will bless a church is when he's blessing people. The opportunities that come to Faith Baptist Church come when you take advantage of the opportunities that God gives you. The question is, are we? Are we taking advantage of those opportunities? See, I believe God knows he's going to be saved, and I believe that we can't stand in the way of anybody getting saved. I just don't believe that. There's certain things I believe, some things I don't believe, but it's not that that's all up to God. I think people make choices. But I don't think anyone's going to stand before the Lord one day and say, I would have gotten saved if it wasn't for me. Because you know what that does? That makes that person greater than God. And so I just wonder. I believe that God's going to save who God's going to save based upon what he knows they're going to do with Christ. And here's the way I look at it. If they're going to get saved, you know where I want them to get saved? Here. You know who I want to lead them to the Lord? Us. I want God to be able to entrust us with the spiritual lives of people. But we need to be a church that God can do that. We need to take advantage of the opportunities. We need to be obedient and faithful. We need to endure difficult times. And here's what I believe. When we do, God will bless. You're going through a difficult time. Maybe it's in this church. Maybe with someone in this church. Maybe it's in your family. Stay faithful. Stay obedient. Continue loving the Lord. Continue loving them. Do what God wants you to do. And let's just trust Him that He's going to work everything out. Because I truly believe He will. I believe He will. Doors of opportunities. I don't think we've seen nearly what God wants to do. But just remember, those opportunities come to you and me, and not a building, but to His people. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, may we be a church that's pleasing to You. May we be a people that is pleasing to You. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. Help us to bear under the difficult circumstances. And Lord, help us to bear up under difficult people. Help us to realize there's more at stake than our pride, than our desires, than our wants, than our feelings. Lord, there's far more at stake. It's the lives of men and women and children. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. And Lord, give us opportunities. Leave the door open for Faith Baptist Church. We want to be the church that You would have us to be. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, no doubt in my mind. If the Lord would come back today, heaven is my home. I know that. Would you slip up your hand and say that to me? Would you do that? Amen. Thank you. You can put them down. I wonder, is there anyone here today you would say, Preacher, I don't know. I don't know that heaven is my home. I don't know that if I was to die today that I would go to heaven. But I want you to pray for me. Is there anyone like that? You just slip up your hand. I wouldn't come to you. Wouldn't embarrass you. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Anyone like that? Anyone? Maybe you're here today and you're not being obedient. You're not being faithful. You're not trusting the Lord. You're not bearing up under difficult circumstances. And instead of allowing God to work through you, you're struggling. You're getting angry and bitter and frustrated. And listen, folks, you could be within a moment or two of seeing God do something great. Don't stop doing what you know God wants you to do. Look for those opportunities. Always be ready. Anticipate them, because God is going to bring them to you. And be ready to open your mouth and tell people about Jesus and what He's done for you. Father, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.